living life wisely, causing us to live a superior life, again, not because of educational opportunities or financial windfall or some type of heritage, but because those who live according to wisdom and wise principles will live a superior life compared to those who live foolishly. Okay? 30 lessons on the book out of the book of Proverbs so far on the subject of wisdom, living life wisely. 31 last week. Living life wisely is learning to seize the opportunity. That's verse number 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Remember that a wise man will make or create more opportunities than he will stumble on. He'll make or create more opportunities than he will just haphazardly find. Okay, be diligent. Seize every opportunity as it comes your way. Verse number 8, chapter 10, our 32nd lesson out of this book. Chapter 10, verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Living life wisely, number 32, is learning the grace of submission to authority. Learning the grace of submission to authority. Notice the Bible says here, the wise in heart will receive commandments. You see, friend, there is a certain amount of pride in each one of us. We talked about that before. That's in the old nature, okay? Jesus said that in Mark chapter 7. Nobody can deny that because Christ said pride is in our hearts. Okay, so we got pride in us. And let me tell you something about that pride. That pride abhors taking orders. That pride abhors receiving commandments. That's what the pride does. The old nature rebels against authority. What is the first thing you want to do when you see a sign that says, stay off the grass? Keep off the grass. The first thing you want to do is walk right over and stick your foot on the grass. At least that's what I want to do in my old nature. Because that old pride, that old nature just doesn't want to take orders. It doesn't want to be submissive to any kind of authority. In each of us, that sin nature causes us to rebel against authority. Now listen carefully. The new nature we receive when you're saved, when we're born again, that new nature is born of God. You understand that? The old nature is born of man. Born of Adam. Okay? That new nature is born of God. That's why the book of 1 John says, people get all worked up over 1 John where it says, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. And so I must not be saved because I'm still sinning. He that which is born of God, the new nature in me, the new nature in you is created in the after the image of God and the image of Jesus Christ. That nature is holy and pure and sinless. Unfortunately, we still got the old nature to deal with. Okay? So when you read that verse over in 1 John, don't get all confused about it. That which is born of God does not commit sin. It doesn't. That new nature cannot sin. Okay? But the old nature can. Now, I've got this new nature in me. It's born of God. That new nature understands, now listen, and even takes great delight in submitting to authority. Now, say that again. The new nature understands the need and takes great delight in submitting to authority. That's what that new nature does. And I'll prove that to you in just a moment. If you take the first phrase of verse number 8, which describes the wise man, see it there? The wise in heart will receive commandments. Okay? Now you take the, and compare it to the last phrase, which describes the foolish man. Notice that. A prating fool shall fall. Okay? Now you put those two together, you could safely paraphrase this verse this way. The wise in heart will receive commandments and stand on a firm foundation and be established. The wise in heart will receive commandments, take orders, submit to authority, and will stand on a firm foundation and be established. Every marriage, in every marriage relationship where there is a clear understanding of and delight in the order of submission, that marriage stands on a strong foundation. Where that is not practiced, that marriage is on sinking sand. And that can be taken to the parent-child relationship. When children understand and even take delight in submitting to authority, that home is on a strong foundation. But brother, if that's not true in our families, then we're building a house on sinking sand. This is what this verse is teaching here, okay? The wise in heart understands, receives commandments, takes orders, submits to authority, and in doing so, establishes itself on a firm foundation, okay? Now, submission, it's one thing we understand right here about submission. Submission is a matter of spirituality. It is a matter of spirituality. This is where a lot of us get in trouble. Where a lot of us can't cut it. It is not something that you and I can do in the flesh. It is a matter of spirituality. Let me show you that. Hold your finger there in Proverbs 10. And look at, we're going to turn to two places now. We'll start in Ephesians 5. You're going to need two more fingers. So if you're running out of fingers, you better use your toes. Amen. All right. But you're going to need, leave something there in Proverbs. Just go back to Proverbs 10 just a little bit. We're going to go to two places in the New Testament. We're going to go to Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, okay? Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. We're going to do a little comparison here between these verses in this chapter, okay? All right, let's go to Ephesians 5 first, number 18. Chapter 5, verse number 18, familiar verse. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't have to go into all that again. But that's a plain command, just as it's a command for us not to be drunk, not to drink, it's a command for us not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You understand? I mean, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's just as much sin as getting drunk. Okay, that's what he's saying here. Now, I want you to look here. He says about being filled with the Spirit. Look at the results of being filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. First result of being filled with the Spirit. The joyful singing spirit. Right? A joyful singing spirit. Giving thanks, speaking to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to God. First result of being filled with the Spirit. But you see, being filled with the Spirit puts a smile on your face, puts the joy of God in your heart. Even in the midst of tough circumstances. Okay? Now, verse number 20. Second result of being filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks. Always for all things. Ouch. Give me thanks always for all things. Second result, being filled with the Spirit. It's thankfulness. Thankfulness. That's not something we do just the last Thursday in November. Thankfulness is a result of being filled with the Spirit. Number 21, third result of being filled with the Spirit. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Talks about submission. Goes through chapter 5, goes to chapter 6, talks about the children being in submission to the parents. Talks about the employees being in submission to the employers. Okay? You got three results of being filled with the Spirit here. A joyful spirit, a thankful spirit, and a submissive spirit. Okay? Three results of being filled with the Spirit of God. All right, Colossians 3. Okay? Colossians 3, verse number 16. Let the word of Christ, well, stop right there. Well, let the what? The word of Christ. Now we're talking about the what? The Bible. Okay? Ephesians 5, we're talking about the Spirit of God. Now we're talking about the word of God. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Does that sound familiar? Wasn't that one of the results of being filled with the Spirit? Singing, joyful, okay? Look at verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving what? Thanks. Does that sound familiar? That's the second result of being filled with the Spirit of God. Right? In Ephesians 5. Look at the next phrase. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And it goes down through here, talking about the children, talking about the employees and the employers again. Submission. Oh, does that sound familiar? In Ephesians 5, you got three results of being filled with the Spirit of God. Joyful heart, thankful spirit, submissive spirit. Let's call it joyful spirit, thankful spirit, submissive spirit. Colossians 3, you got three results of being filled with the Word of God. Joyful spirit, thankful spirit, submissive spirit. Isn't that interesting? They are identical. And that should not surprise us, folks, because the Spirit of God works through the Word of God. Okay? He works in tandem with the Word of God. I can't be filled with the Spirit of God and neglect my Bible. I'm going to tell you, I've been filled with the Spirit of God. I'm filled with the Spirit. When's the last time you read your Bible? Oh, 6 months ago. X. Cross that one off. They're just hot talking hot air. Okay? See, the Spirit of God works in tandem with the Word of God. I get filled with the Word of God. Take it in. Not only just take it in, but live it. Practice it. Let the life of Christ in the Bible live through me. Like he was talking about on Wednesday night. And then being filled with the Spirit of God. And these are the results. I'll have a joyful spirit. I'll have a thankful spirit. I'll have a submissive spirit. Submission is a spiritual matter. It is not a work of the flesh. And the problem that most people have with submission is we attempt it in the power of the flesh instead of the power of God. Okay? And the power of God comes through His Word and through His Spirit. That's where the power of God comes. It's impossible for me to attempt to be submissive in the power of my flesh. What does my flesh want to do? When somebody gives me an order or a command, my flesh wants to rebel. Are you that way? I would think most of us are. I'll do what you tell me to do. Who you think you are? That's your N-O-W crowd. That's your ERA crowd. You know, that's your children's rights crowd. That's all that mess going on in our country today. Nobody wants to take an order. Nobody wants to receive a command. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Leave me alone. Get out of my life. Let me live it. Okay? And when the people of God attempt to be submissive in the power of the flesh, it doesn't work. It's a spiritual matter. It has to happen in the power of God, not in the power of the flesh. Let me ask you, is it difficult to take orders from your supervisor? Is it difficult to take orders from your superior? Is it difficult to take orders from your husband? You know, when God put that thing into place there in the Garden of Eden, ladies, He even said, this is not going to be very much fun. They say it was fun, but necessary. And it's never been a matter of equality, which is what all this ERA crowd wants to throw at us. You don't think men and women are equal. Never has been a matter of equality. If it's a matter of equality, then we've got problems with our doctrine on the Trinity. Because Jesus is in submission to God the Father. And if they're not equal, then we're in trouble. We're Jehovah's Witness, whatever. Are you with me? Okay. So it never has been a matter of equality. It's a matter of order. It's a matter of chain of command because God's not the author of confusion. Everybody runs around doing that which is right in their own eyes. You know where you end up? Book of Judges. Book of Judges. Read it sometime. Read it and be appalled. What? This is nuts. Huh? And they were doing that which was not wrong in their own eyes. They were doing that which was right in their own eyes. They were sincere about it and crazy. Okay? So God puts an order. He puts a chain of command. He puts everything in order because God is an author, is not the author of confusion, but of decency and order. It's never been a matter of equality. It's a matter of making this thing function properly. There's got to be a chain of command. Everybody's got to fit into it. Amen. All of us do. Okay? But the flesh doesn't want to. Well, how do I make that work? I have to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. I have to be filled with the Word of God. I have to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God. It's a spiritual matter, and that being a spiritual matter will cause me to be submissive as I ought to. It is never easy in the power of the flesh. But when you're filled with the Spirit and filled with the Word of God, it becomes an easy matter. And by the way, once I learned the grace, this is a grace. Once I learned the grace of submission to authority, I will find that my life is built on a firm foundation. See, ladies, the world wants you to swallow that if you take orders from your husband, you're weak. That's what they want you to swallow. Hey, you weak person, you. Stand up for what you believe. Hey, be a woman. That's what they say. Okay? It is 180 degrees different than what God's book says. You're not weak if you're in submission to your husband. You're on a firm foundation. And the world says to our teenagers, don't take that from your mom and dad. Don't take that stuff from them. Tell them what you want to do with your life. Be your own man. Be your own young woman. And the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible says a submissive child is on a firm foundation. Okay? And the same is true at work. The same is true in our country. The same is true everywhere. And let's face it. You know, how come guys at age 45 and 50 start obeying the traffic laws? You know, anymore, I'm looking at my teenage son. He's flying down the road. And I'm thinking to myself, son, you don't got to do that. You don't got to do that. You get where you're going just as safely and as quickly as if you drive the speed limit. I don't have to barrel down the road 70 miles an hour anymore. You know, I don't have to do that. But that's that old nature, that old flesh. He just wants to run everything anybody tries, any kind of anything anybody tries to put me under. My flesh wants to rebel against it. You say you never break the speed limit? Well, you know, you don't have the thing completely under control. Nobody's sinlessly perfect, right? Nobody. But I'm simply saying that old, that old rebellion, that old, don't tell me what to do, huh? And the world says, take that, and buddy, that shows that you're a man. You're a strong person. The Bible says that kind of stuff puts you on sinking sand. Submission puts you on firm ground. Okay? So learning to live life wisely is learning life wisely is learning the grace of submission to authority. I want to say something. The truth is, I'll never be entrusted with leadership until I learn the grace of following orders. That's the truth. And part of the reason we have such problems in America today is because we know nothing of submission. People cannot follow orders from anybody, and as a result, the whole foundation of our nation is on sinking, is made of sinking sand right now. This is one of the reasons right here. Living life wisely, learning the grace of submission to authority. Lady, if you're having a hard time at home, getting along with your, and by the way, husbands, there's a way to be a leader. There's a way to be a leader. And that way creates a desire in the heart of your wife to submit and follow you. There's a way to be a leader. We talked about that all summer last summer, okay, or two summers ago, whenever. But lady, if you're having a trouble with this submission thing, maybe you're attempting it in the power of the flesh. I got to submit. You're not going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're not going to self-hypnotize yourself into a submissive spirit. It takes Christ working in you, working through you. It takes the Word of God. It takes the Spirit of God changing and shaping, molding you into that type of person. Okay? And by the way, don't hang your head. Don't hang your head because you're normal. Don't hang your head. You got an old nature like everybody else. Okay? That old nature rebels against that kind of thing. Okay? So don't hang your head. If you're fighting it, man, I'm fighting it. Okay, you're fighting it. A lot of people fight it. A lot of men fight it. You know, a lot of men want their wives to be in submission to them and go to work and cause their employers headaches. Are you with me? Okay. So it's a big deal. It's a big issue. So don't hang your head. Just work at it. Ask the Spirit of God to develop that in you and help you with it. Fill you with His power. Okay. Be sure you stay in the Bible. It'll help you. It's a spiritual matter. Okay. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 10. And I got 10 minutes here. I'll end up on this one here. Verse number 19, we'll finish chapter 10. Be ready for chapter number 11 next week. Let me give you lesson number 33. Look at verse number 19. In the multitude of words, this is a great verse. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. I'm going to be real plain on this one. Living life wisely involves knowing when to keep my mouth shut. All right? Living life wisely is knowing when to keep my mouth shut. The wise person learns quickly that God gave us two ears and one mouth. That must mean that God intended us to listen twice as much as we speak. Huh? Or else we'd have two mouths and one ear. Who knows? A person that rattles on endlessly will find that more idle words have been spoken than necessary words. Matthew Henry said this. I thought it was outstanding. And you gotta let it sink in for a moment. Those that love to hear themselves talk do not consider what work they are making for repentance. I thought that's a great statement. Those that love to hear themselves talk do not consider what work they are making for repentance. You know what he's saying? The more you speak, the more you're probably going to have to apologize for. The more you're going to have to confess. All right? The more we speak, the greater the chance that we will say something that must be confessed as sin. C.H. Spurgeon said this, ouch, step on our toes, Dr. Charles. He said, quote, men talk so much because they think so little. Drums make a great noise because they are hollow. When they're playing downstairs this morning along with the congregational hymns, that guy's banging out that drum, boom, boom. Remember that, okay? Drums make a great noise because they are hollow. Men talk so much because they think so little. James chapter 1, verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. How many of us live by that? You know, you've been learning, Brother Brian, amen. Working on it. Now, there are many times to speak, to talk, to witness, to encourage. And like I said earlier, seize those opportunities every time they present themselves. But in the course of our life, wisdom shows itself in our learning when to be quiet. When to be quiet. At ball games. When the refs are doing the best that they can. Boy, oh boy. That was intense Friday night, wasn't that? That was intense Friday night, I'll tell you. Every time we play Dwight, it's intense. Every time we play Dwight. Over there, here, it's always intense. Always intense. I have seen Brother Bryant so animated in all my years of knowing Brother Eric Bryant. That was interesting. That's good. I'll tell you what. I wouldn't want to be a referee for all the money in the world. And really, Keith Harrison shouldn't referee here. I feel bad for Keith. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, learning when to be quiet. Okay, let me give you some points here. Number one, never repeat a rumor to one who cannot shed light on its truth. So you know what you got to do? You got to go to the source. Or go right to the person that it's about. So this is what I heard. Is this true? Never repeat a rumor to one who cannot shed light on the truth. Number two, there are times when truth does not need to be repeated. You know, what you hear may be true, but does it need to be said? Does it need to be repeated? Sometimes truth doesn't even need to be repeated. Just keep your mouth shut. The wise person learns when to do that. Number three, do not be quick to speak in self-defense. Do not be quick to speak in self-defense. There are times when you'll be far ahead, just keep your mouth shut. Somebody says something, somebody da-da-da-da, just keep your mouth shut. Don't be quick to speak in self-defense, okay? Number four, do not be a conduit for criticism. Don't be a conduit for criticism. You want to get to the place where you pour, coming to you with criticism or gossip is like throwing cold water on a hot fire. That's how you ought to be. Do not be a conduit for criticism. Be careful of words that have no purpose. This is what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 36, when he said, every idle word we speak will stand in judgment of. You know what the word idle means? It means what it says. It means unemployed. You know what that means? That there's no purpose for it. If it's not gainfully employed. Statements to your kids like, you're stupid. That doesn't help anything. Statements to your kids like, you'll never do it. What's that got to do? You'll never? I'm talking about idle talk, words that have no purpose, okay? Avoid complaining words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 10. Neither murmur ye nor complain, Paul said. Boy, that's a big one. That's a huge one. Neither murmur ye. And then learn how to tell time. What? Learn how to tell time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 9 says, there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. You know what we need to learn how to do? Learn how to tell time. When is it time to keep silence? The wise person learns to refrain his lips. He learns when to keep his mouth shut. Argument in its beginning stages. Okay? Keep your mouth shut. Learn when to tell time. Learn when to tell time. There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Because living life wisely involves knowing when to keep your mouth shut. Verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. He that refraineth his lips is wise. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. This is as much part of the Bible as John 3:16 is. As much part of the Bible as Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. As much part of the Bible as any passage on prophecy. God didn't make a mistake when he put these verses in the Bible. He did us all a great favor. If we'll take these things and practice them, we'll live life wisely. We'll have a better life. Okay?